Welcome to episode 7 of The Perfect Cast. I'm Jack.
And I'm Lisa. This week we cover Knives Out and Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
We also discuss You, Killing Eve, and we've got another game for you.
Woohoo!
Hello, so we're back after the new year.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everyone. We've both been really ill. Lisa's still ill.
Yeah.
So sorry for not putting an episode out last week.
I'm sorry for my voice today.
Oh dear. I did ask Lisa if she wanted to put it off for another week, but she's powering through.
Yeah. It might be good. It might be horrific for your ears.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we watched a lot of films and TV over the Christmas break. Not as many Christmas films as we'd have liked to.
No, I don't think we really watched many at all.
No, but we saw Star Wars.
We did.
In the cinema, in the IMAX
yeah.
in Manchester. That was really good. The experience of it was really good.
Yeah.
I'm still unsure on how I feel about it.
Oh, I still like it.
Yeah, we watched all 2 series of Killing Eve.
Yeah.
We watched season 2 of You. And
I saw Knives Out. I saw it a while ago.
Yeah.
With my friend. We're going to discuss it today.
Yeah, so should we dive in on Knives Out?
Okay, so it's like hard to explain because there's so many like twists and turns. So I'm just going to read what IMDb have got written down as a description of what the film's about.
Right, okay. Okay, so the synopsis for Knives Out is when renowned crime novelist Harlan Thrombey dies just after his 85th birthday, the inquisitive and debonair detective Benoit Blanc arrives at his estate to investigate. From Harlan's dysfunctional family to his devoted staff, Blanc sifts through a web of red herrings and self-serving lies to uncover the truth behind Thrombey's untimely demise. So it's a murder mystery.
It's a murder mystery, but it's really funny and it's got a really good cast.
Okay. Is it better than the Adam Sandler's new murder mystery that came out?
I've not seen that, but I imagine anything's better. So Daniel Craig plays Benoit.
Yeah, I think it's Benoit.
I imagine it's Benoit. He plays the detective.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people just say detective when they're talking to him.
Okay, yeah.
But he plays like a southern, like Kentucky guy.
Right.
So when he walks in, he's like...
He's got a French name.
But he's southern.
I had him down as a French one.
No, he's like Southern American.
Ah, okay.
Like it, and he's really good at it as well. Like it's proper like drawl.
Texas, Oklahoma.
I think Kentucky's the best.
Kentucky.
You know, it's just it's like a proper Southern drawl.
Okay.
Like it's really good
right.
though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the whole family is like Jamie Lee Curtis is the old man's daughter.
Right.
And then he's got 2 other sons. Does he have 2 sons? He has 2 sons, but one of them's passed away. So Toni Collette,
right?
You know the mum
from About a Boy. Yeah.
She's his wife, but he's passed away, so she's still a part of the family. But
right.
she's the daughter-in-law.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And then he has got another son, but I don't know who that guy is.
So it adds a bit of complication without it being too hard to figure out.
Yeah. So he's got 3 kids.
Yeah.
They all like sort of fought with him or had like motive to kill him.
Yeah.
But he's a crime novelist as well, so like a lot of his books, like when the detectives first show up, they're like, oh, this is like in that scene of his book and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
so they use that as reference.
He's also got like 3 grandkids. One's a little weird boy who spends a lot of time alone. One's like quite a cool kid. And then the other one's Chris Evans, who plays Ransom.
Ransom.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah, I think it's his middle name.
Right.
But everyone calls him Ransom.
Like Held to Ransom.
Yeah.
Right.
It
sounds like the makings of any murder mystery where there's extended family or big family, they don't like the guy with all the money.
No, they do. They like
they
him.
Do like
they
him.
Do like him. But at the party, there was like bickering going on and there was things happening that gives everyone motive to do it.
And it seems like everyone has a character trait.
Yeah, like...
That like is a little bit eccentric, and that's what gives them that personality.
Yeah,
so it's easy to sort of
so
box
Ransom,
people off.
You don't really see him for a while because he left the party. He's a bit of a rebel, doesn't really care. He's like going through like a I'm cutting myself off from the family because I'm a grown-up.
So does the film, like, try and make you think it's him by doing that?
But then, like, it twists and turns and you keep finding out little things. And when you think, oh, it's them,
okay.
they turn again and you're what? I don't know where I am up to.
Yeah, I remember you saying you needed the loo halfway through.
I really
through,
needed the loo. So did Niamh, my friend. We both needed the toilet and we both sat there like, right, I'm going to go now. And then something mad had happened and you'd be like, oh, I can't go now. So by the end of it, we were like, move everyone. Pushing everyone out of the way.
Well, I'll give that one, because I don't know if it's still on in the flicks, but I'll give it a go when it comes out in the flicks.
It's been out since November, so I can't imagine.
It'll be on its last legs now.
Yeah, but I definitely recommend
watching
it.
I imagine it'll come to Now TV or Netflix.
Yeah, but it's definitely good. It made me laugh all the way through. It's one of them things that you really want to talk about, but there's so much that happens that it would spoil.
Oh, right, yeah,
so you can't say anything.
Right.
That's why it's like so hard to talk about on the podcast.
But you'd watch it again?
Definitely.
Who was the director? Oh, have you got it?
It's Rian Johnson. He also did Star Wars Last Jedi, which...
was not the best Star Wars. But
maybe he should stick to murder mysteries.
He did Looper, which I thought was really good.
I have fallen asleep every time we tried to watch... Remember, we tried to watch Looper like 5 times so that I could watch it, and every time I fell asleep.
That's like one of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's best roles.
I was enjoying it. It's just I think we always put it on at night.
I think there's bits of it that are like a little bit slow.
Yeah. I don't recognise any of his other films, though. Brick and... Evil Demon Golf Ball from Hell.
Well, that sounds interesting. Maybe we should give that a go. It's 1996.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so Knives Out, highly recommend.
Yes, definitely go and see it.
How many stars out of stars?
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5?
Yeah.
Big 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll give that a go. Speaking of Star Wars and Rian Johnson, we went to see Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. Every time a new Star Wars comes out, we meet up with a group of friends and we all go and watch it. And we try and get IMAX for it, so we get like the best viewing experience. Although it does feel a little bit like a tennis match when you're in there.
I know, like you're looking left and you're looking right because things are happening at other ends of the room.
Yeah, yeah. It was long. It felt long.
It felt like a normal length of a film, but it felt fast. Like I didn't feel like it dragged.
It feels like they tried to fit a lot of films into one.
Yeah.
Like, The Last Jedi wasn't great.
I feel like they were trying to correct a lot of...
Yeah, there was good bits of it, but it felt like the story was going in the wrong direction. So they used this film to sort of tie the knot and bring it all back together. And it definitely shows. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Definitely entertaining.
See, I don't bite my nails.
Right.
Unless I'm nervous or like... there's something going on.
Right, okay.
All the way through, I noticed I was biting my nails and sitting sort of leaning forward. So, like, had me, like, gripped.
Gripped, yeah.
And I enjoyed it. You know, obviously, I'm upset that, you know, Kylo didn't take his top off.
Yeah.
That upset me. He got so wet and he just stayed in his wet clothes. No wonder he died.
Yeah.
That's
it. Yeah, I feel like I need to watch it again to... really like pay more, because you're watching it for the first time and so much is happening, it's really hard to like keep on top of. And I always, when I'm watching a film, I always try and like second guess what's gonna happen, try and figure it out myself. And it was one that was, because it was so fast paced, you're just trying to take it all in. I think that's my biggest flaw with it, is just there was too much. Otherwise I thought it was really good. I really liked the like main group, Finn, Poe and Rey, are like all escaping on the sand dunes and on that speeder with a sail type thing. It felt very like pirates, like on a sea of sand. but like it's on that, you know, the stormtrooper chase.
I thought that was in that festival.
Particularly good, yeah, from the festival.
I really like the way they dealt with Leia. Passing.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Like those, it didn't
she
feel...
used all of her strength to get through to Ben.
Yeah.
And I did notice that when she did pass and everyone gathered around a body, the one person who's always like by her side throughout the films wasn't there, which is I don't know her character's name.
Yeah.
But in real life it's Carrie Fisher's daughter, so obviously it was too hard for her to do. But
I did notice
that she wasn't there, but then she comes back like later on in the movie just to be.
There's like the Charlie from Lost character as well. Yeah, he's like popped up. a couple of lines. Yeah. I think he's new to the Star Wars universe. It's the end of the Skywalker series.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, are they going to do more like
Rey?
More Rey or more? Well, no, because at the end it was really disappointing when she was like, "I'm Rey Skywalker."
I know. I was like, "Shut up!"
Like, you should accept that you're Rey Palpatine and go change the from name. That. Yeah, change the name. Like, the whole new trilogy builds up to who's Rey's parents, and that, and then it's like, yeah, you're a Palpatine, but no.
I feel like they gave that away within like the first 5 minutes of that film starting as well.
Yeah.
Like, instantly, I was like, "Well, she's related to him."
Well, there's not been like any mention of the Emperor all trilogy, and then it's like,
There he is.
Like, they could have
floating around
done a few more hints. Maybe there are hints that I just don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed. But they could have hinted more in The Last Jedi, so that like you're like, I know it's gonna be, and then it's the big reveal in the third film. There just wasn't that segmentation that.
To be honest, the Emperor scenes were the only bits that were like, alright, get on with it. Like him just cackling and making electric out of his fingers. I was like, okay.
The last scene where all the ships turn up.
Yeah.
That's very much like the end of Ready Player One.
Okay.
Where basically there's this big empire-style company, big corporation company, who are trying to get to the thing in Ready Player One. And they rebel and get everyone from the Ready Player One universe to fight against them. And it's basically that at the end of this Star Wars. And that, like, considering it was like, here's these, like, hundreds of thousands of ships in this big space battle, it just didn't feel like a proper battle. I remember when we went to see Rogue One, when we came out of it was like, that was amazing because it was actually a war film. It was a war film in space. So.
I fell asleep.
Well, I enjoyed it.
I think I felt was a bit like lackluster.
Yeah.
Was they built up to this like fight between the Emperor and Kylo and Rey.
Yeah.
And then they both were just like, and just kept collapsing and like rolling around on the floor. And I was like, oh my God. And then finally, when obviously the Emperor dies or wherever he does, Rey's like dead. And then Kylo comes, brings her back to life.
Yeah.
And then he collapses. And I was like, I think I looked at you and just rolled my eyes like, oh my God, drama queens, it was these a bit two. Romeo. They just kept like falling down. I was like, all right.
It was a bit like Romeo and Juliet at the end there, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like,
it's a bit annoying.
One pretends to die, the other one just like, oh no, she's dead, I'll die. And then she wakes up and then, now I'll have to die.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying.
Similar sort of vein to that.
I'd rather Ray die.
I can't relate with Ray.
No, she's a bit annoying.
She's most protagonists are annoying.
Main characters are always annoying. Harry Potter's the worst.
We'll get onto that. We could be here for hours of Lisa talking about how annoying Harry Potter is in Harry Potter.
And Ted Mosby.
Ted,
worst character, other than Robin.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's fair enough. Okay, well, I definitely want to give it another go. And I want to look into what they're doing now with Mandalorian season 2 has been announced for October next year.
Yeah, we'll get it in March.
And we get it in the UK in March. Yeah. So there shouldn't be that much of a break between when series 1 finishes to when series 2 starts. What, 8 weeks? So
8 weeks.
Well, yeah, it's 8 episodes, isn't it? So what's that? March, April.
Oh, I don't know if they'll just jump them all at once in the UK. I hope so.
Yeah. Then there's the Obi-Wan series as well coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, as far as I'm aware, that's what we've got Star Wars-wise.
I think that's
it. Would
it,
be good if they carry on doing some films, though. I imagine they will.
I think they're just aware that we're all a bit, like,
ready
we
for
need a break.
Less Star Wars films and more TV shows.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what George Lucas originally wanted, though. Like, he loved these, you know, like, cowboy-style TV shows. You know, a bit like Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ooh.
Is that like Hollywood cowboy actor is in that show. I can't remember off the top of my head. George Lucas was aiming for that sort of thing, but with the Star Wars universe, and that's what makes Mandalorian so good. It's like half an hour to 40 minute episodes of just cowboys in space.
Yeah.
Essentially. But yeah, okay, cool. Star Wars. You love it when I end segments. I might just like let this do a whole.
So we've started, well, we started and finished both series of Killing Eve, didn't we?
Yes.
Because we've heard really good things about it.
Really good things.
And those all people were right.
They were, whoever
about
they were.
About series one.
About series one.
Series two, not so, good.
Yeah, it was just a bit of a letdown. So the synopsis for Killing Eve is Eve's life as a spy is not adding up to what she had hoped it would be when she started. She is a bored, very smart MI5 security officer who is very desk-bound. Villanelle is a very talented killer, mercurial in mood, who clings to the luxuries of her job, and even Villanelle go head-to-head in a fierce game of cat and mouse, each woman equally obsessed with the other, as Eve is tasked with hunting down the psychopathic assassin. That's it. It's written by the lady who does
Fleabag,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah, she was the robot in Solo.
It's really good. So like Villanelle, who's played by Jodie Comer, who's from Liverpool,
yes,
is a assassin who receives postcards which have like codes on them. She puts the codes into a system that on the computer, and it gives her the information on who her next target is.
Yeah.
She kills them in quite like theatrical ways because she likes to play.
Yeah.
Like she likes dressing up and
likes
she likes
the drama and likes the.
Yeah, she likes people to know like she's been there basically. Yeah. And Eve gets obsessed with trying to find who is assassinating all these people because they're like quite high up people.
High rank people.
Yeah, Eve is played by Sandra Oh, and she's really good in it as well. She's an American actress.
Yes.
But yeah, it's really good and it's quite funny at times, isn't it? Like
yeah,
quite
it's
witty
a dark,
with it.
Dark comedy.
So like Jodie Comer is such like a good actress because you would never know that she was British, let alone from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like when you hear her talking in interviews and she's got a little bit of a Scouse accent, you're just like, that is freaking me out.
Even when she does a British accent in the
show,
she's
very posh,
isn't
she?
It's very posh, yeah.
Yeah. So she speaks Russian, French, German,
Italian.
Yeah, she speaks many languages, but she also does the accent so that you think she's from there. So she's playing a Russian character, so she speaks with like a Russian English accent.
Yeah,
she's really good. Like she's such a good actress.
Oh yeah, I thought she was fantastic in this and really like stole the show.
Yeah.
Although because of a character name is Villanelle, it's like villain, isn't it?
Well, I think she chooses that name for herself because that's not her real name.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's like L mixed with villain.
Yeah, so. Like a female villain.
Yeah.
Season one had us like laughing and it had us gripped and we were like looking forward to every episode.
And they're going to all these different destinations.
Yeah.
And like making these really dramatic assassinations.
Yeah. And like when she's speaking to the guy who assigns assassination.
Constantine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She pulls really like cheeky faces. She's very expressionate and it's really she's really funny with her face.
Villanelle and Constantine have this really funny, like, not love hate relationship, but like, she messes around and Constantine like takes it for a little bit but then it's like, right, no, it's very serious.
Yeah, he's like a dad almost.
Yeah, but slightly more aggressive.
Yeah. It's funny though. But then season two,
it's because it went from this cat and mouse chase.
To let's work together.
Let's work together in order to find this other person, and it
didn't work.
The transition between we're initially after each other, and now we're not. It was just strange.
Yeah.
And it let me down a bit.
Yeah, because the first season, like Eve finds out that Villanelle knows who she is, and she's like, she assassinates someone and uses the name Eve Polansky.
Yeah.
So Eve's aware that she knows who she is and she's looking for her. So you're like, what's going to happen?
Because that's in series one.
That's what I mean.
And then all these twists and turns
and they decide, oh, let's work together. You're just like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
It just didn't work. And it was really disappointing. There were still episodes that are really good. Like the episode with, what's his name? Julian Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good
episode.
He's
like a really creepy guy whose mother has dementia and he has all of these dolls all over his house.
Dolls.
And at first you're like, oh, okay, she's just taking advantage of this like guy.
Nice guy, but
this
it
nice
turns
guy.
Out he's a
turns...
proper creep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good.
Oh, she kills
that
him.
That was in
with
season two.
What does she kill him with?
I don't know.
Kind of
a needle in
his
throat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, grim. That actually, the bits where she's like escaping from prison,
yeah,
and
like
she's on the run. That's first, pretty
it's
good,
when
actually.
She gets in touch with Eve and they start working together. That's where it goes downhill.
So the first half of series two,
good,
enjoyable. It's just the didn't like the way it ended, which, you know, I imagine some people did like that. My biggest flaw with it, and it's going to sound a bit stupid, is the way it was filmed was like every BBC drama
ever. I don't know why you keep banging on
it. It drives me mad. They used the same camera filters. They used the exact same shots. It looked... I don't know why. I don't know whether it's because it's like got... It's similar to like a police drama. But it's just very British. And I don't like the way we do things. It's why I can't watch stuff like... Holby City, and it drives me mad in
Holby City. You can't compare Holby City on. To being
and it like drives me mad in like Line of Duty as well. It's just all so British. It does my head in.
I think that's just the BBC. I wouldn't say that about every British
the boring broadcast company.
You say that, but we've enjoyed many of their TV shows. Happy Valley.
Yeah, but it's
did
shot
not
exactly
have that.
The
it wasn't.
Same way. It
Happy
was.
Valley was brilliant.
What made Happy Valley good and what made Killing Eve good was the writing.
Happy Valley, we were waiting every week for it and we were on the edge of our seats every single week. It was brilliant. It if was you've just... not seen Happy Valley, it's on Netflix. You might need subtitles, but it's brilliant.
It's a police drama set in Yorkshire.
You made it sound crap.
It's good.
It's really
just,
good.
Yeah, it is good. Sarah Lancashire.
Oh, what's it? His name's gone from my head.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that good.
Every time I see him, I'm just like, oh, it's such and such.
Yeah. So, Killing Eve.
If you've not seen it, give it a go. Like, it's really good.
Do you think there'd be a series three?
Well, when I googled it, series three was like the top search. I don't think there will be.
Because of the way series two ended.
But they could also.
They could also.
Bring it back if they wanted to, but I hope they don't because, you know.
Yeah.
Enough's enough.
Enough's enough. Well, they might do. Although, well, it'd be interesting to see what Phoebe Waller-Bridge does next, though.
I know, she's sort of taken over
TV. Yeah, Fleabag was really good. I haven't seen the new series of that, actually.
New season of Fleabag was brilliant, but unfortunately the BBC have said no more.
Oh, really?
But she said in an interview that she's been approached by, like...
Channel 4.
No, like, streaming services to do more, and she's considering it.
See, that might be better, because they'll have more investment. Like, if Netflix got behind it, that's, like, mega bucks.
It's so good. The new season as well. It's got the guy who plays... My brain's not working. The baddie in Sherlock.
Moriarty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plays him.
James something. Unless his name's James Moriarty.
He's
in loads at the moment, you know. He keeps popping up.
He's a priest.
Yeah.
That she fancies. Ooh. And she keeps going to church because she fancies a priest.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Like,
yeah.
Just the whole of Fleabag's brilliant.
I need to give series two a watch then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if she's got any other like new shows on the run.
She's
on
very
the go.
Popular at the minute.
She is. She's a hot property.
Yeah.
In other TV, we've been watching You Series 2.
You Series 2.
So we finished You Series 1 around this time last year, was it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know when it came out.
But it was interesting. I wasn't sure at first because it had the fella from Gossip Girl in.
Pen.
Something.
Badgley.
Yeah. But that instantly gripped us. Within the first episode,
season one
we
was
wanted
brilliant.
To watch more. Yeah.
Yeah. Then when it ended, I was like, there can't be another. Like, why are they doing another
one? How are they going to do it?
Yeah,
what
and
are
I was like, oh, they're just doing it because it's popular.
Yeah.
I preferred season two.
I preferred series two. Like, I watched series 1 to 8 of Dexter. Loved most series. Series two basically gave me more Dexter vibes than series one.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's in a hotter part. It lives in a slightly different apartment that's a lot more like Dexter's. And it just felt more
just an LA
Dexter,
apartment, wasn't it?
Dexter-esque, but in its own way. The characters, there was more characters, maybe. It felt like there was more.
I just think, like, the first season, he's, like, trying to bump off everyone who's trying to get in between them.
Yeah.
This season, he's trying to control himself because he wants it to work out.
Yeah.
So he sees, like, a therapist, and he says, you need to start saying, and I'm okay with that. So anytime something goes wrong, he's like, and I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. And
It's the writers of this show are really good as well. They're great at making you really dislike someone, but then by the end of the series, really feel for them.
Yeah.
Like 40, his name's 40 Quinn. Strange name. But his character, at first I was like, oh, he's this douche, yeah. And then by the end of it, you're like, you really want him to do well.
I know, you love him.
And it's literally like in two episodes, in like the last couple of episodes, you're just like, oh.
It's because you learn like why he acts that way. So
yeah,
you feel for him more. And
that, and also the way he can just like twist things. I especially liked when she had the Australian boyfriend for a while and is like, right, watch this. And then he just goes and like pushes a few buttons and it just all ends up like nasty, doesn't it?
I don't know, I don't know what you mean.
He like walks off and just like says a few things to Love, his sister. It like does another little few scenes, and then when the Australian fella's on his way out, they end up having like a bit of a fight.
Okay.
It's just all because like 40's pulled a few strings and he's like manipulating the whole
situation. It's because Love is his twin.
Yeah.
Love is the girl, the new love interest that Joe is obsessed with.
Yes.
Joe's changed his name to
Will.
Will.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get away from Candice.
Yeah.
Candice?
Candice.
Because he's trying to get away from Candice, who tracked him down in the last episode of the last season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's just so many twists and turns, and I hate how they make you want Will to get or Joe to get away with it.
Yeah.
And you like him, and he's really trying in this season to be a better guy. Well, and it's so frustrating.
He lets someone go. He lets someone who knows, well, I guess he might not know.
I don't know if I want to let, just because it's fairly new.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he does travel across from New York to LA.
Yeah.
With his big box, which I'm not sure how he does that.
Yeah, and he talks about being on like a bit of a tight budget, not having a great deal of money. But what's happened to the bookshop? How did he get the big crate?
Well, it wasn't his bookshop. He just worked there.
How do we know
he
that?
He was just manager.
Yeah, but the guy who owns it has passed away. And I thought, well, in my head, it had passed on to him. Because he's got all the keys and
I think no,
he seems
manager.
Like he runs the place. But yeah, he's got that like cell, the big glass cell in the basement. How's he got that?
The other side of America.
The other side of America. On the cheap as well. Mm. Not driven it across. Thrown it across. Because we see him in the airport, don't we? And he's looking at Hendy.
Mm.
The comedian.
Celebrity, yeah.
Celebrity comedian.
It's really clever the way they do the season.
It is. The way it makes you feel for all the different characters at different times. It's like, makes you feel the right way for that character at that right moment. And then it suddenly twists on you.
Flips
you on your head.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. And he's like the young... There's another like... When you start boiling it down, it's similar patterns to the first one. Like
better.
He's got the kid that he looks after.
Well, that's the thing. When it first starts, he's like, this is my new apartment. And he instantly talks to a kid. And I was like, oh, it's going to be exactly the same as the last season. It is. But they do it in such a better way.
Yeah. Like halfway through the first series, he breaks up with the girl, the main girl, starts going out with someone else. And I was like, halfway through series two, I was like, it's probably about time that he breaks up with the girl and gets with someone else. And he does.
Yeah.
So it is, when you take...
The format's the same.
When you break down all the elements, it is the same format. But because
so
it's
better.
Disguised in this LA version. It's the LA version of series one.
Yeah.
But with a slightly different twists and a couple of more like characters coming in. So it's more the difficulties, like his love interest can't go anywhere without a brother. Or can't do anything without a brother. So that's a whole new
issue for him to get around. But he also like brings up things that he did wrong in season one. So in season one.
Yeah.
He kills someone, pees into a jar and leaves it. So he's like, he knows his DNA was in that house.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So he does bring that up in season two and he's like, don't leave any DNA. Learned that the hard way.
I missed that bit.
Yeah.
I like the postcards he gets from Other Will as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those shows where...
I missed that though.
Again, there's a lot going on and then... I sort of want to watch it again just to like catch these little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
We really smashed this series out though.
We did. We watched it in like two sittings.
2-3 days I think it was.
Yeah. We tried to break it up, but we got into it and ended up watching like 6 episodes in one go. And
yeah.
Then we watched it each evening after work.
It was definitely an easy binge. I don't know if there's going to be a series 3. It sets itself up for a third series. The way this episode ended... it actually really annoyed me. Like the last couple of episodes, I was a bit unsure. I was like, where's this going? How's this going to work? And then it sort of worked out. It was a bit like the end of Killing Eve. Like, I felt like you definitely ended better. After it sort of, it's a little hiccup, I'd say, in the story. But yeah, it worked out. And then at the end, I was just like, oh, cool. Everything's worked out for them. They're all living happily. And then it's like the last 30 seconds, I was like, no.
Yeah, I've seen that they're already starting season 3.
But then
I don't want them to, but at the same time, I didn't want them to do season 2, and I enjoyed that.
So it fits with the pattern. It fits with the pattern of you don't want them to do another series, but then I bet series 3 comes out, and we're like, oh, I'm so glad they did series 3.
Yeah.
Can't wait for him to break up with the main girl and get with another girl, and there'll be some kid that he has to look after. Yeah. But it's still, like, even though we've managed to break it down, I still watch series 3 and probably really enjoy it.
Same.
But now we're sort of struggling for TV to watch.
Well, everything's just sort of ended. We're just waiting for things to begin again.
If anyone's got any suggestions, though,
that would be lovely.
Feel free to send them in.
Yeah, like there's a couple of movies that I want to go see. I want to go see Little Women. I was meant to go see it this week, but
being ill,
not well.
Mm-hmm. I want to watch 1917.
No, you can see that with a friend.
I think the lads at work want to go watch it, so I might go with them.
I want to go see Jojo Rabbit.
Yes, I would like to watch. We could watch that this week if you want.
Yes, please.
If you're feeling better.
And I would also really, really, really like to see Mr. Rogers' Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood.
Right. That might be another one for the week after this one.
It doesn't come out till the 30th, so.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah.
We'll watch that in February.
So there's lots of movies coming out that I want to go see, but there's nothing on TV. There is AJ and the Queen, which you will not like.
Right, okay.
It's got really bad reviews, but it's about RuPaul.
Oh, okay.
Is a drag queen.
Right.
Called Ruby Red.
Right.
Crap name.
Okay.
But she comes across a kid who his mum is a drug addict, so she's like, just come on this American tour with me, and they get into all sorts of shenanigans. It looks terrible, but I really want to watch it.
Is it a drama? Is it a
comedy drama? Yeah.
Is it fictional?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, cool.
Yeah. It looks crap and it's got really bad reviews, but I can feel like it's gonna be like, you like Gossip Girl, you know it's rubbish, but you enjoy it.
Okay. XOXO.
I hope so.
That rhymed. I need to find something new to watch. Although, new series of Titans has just come out, so I'll probably give that a go. It's like a DC comic series.
Oh, okay.
So, like, last year I watched all of Titans, and then went on and watched all of Gotham.
I remember Teen Titans, is it that?
Yeah, I think so. It's like Robin and this girl with dark emo powers. I can't remember it all, but it'll all come flooding back when I watch series 2. So that was pretty good. Yes, I think that's it from TV, film TV. Yeah, so Lisa's got a game for us.
So it's a game we've played before. I can't remember what we've called it in the past. We need to sort of write these things down.
Do.
I've got a new notebook, which we can have information like this for.
Yeah.
What?
We can use it as our guide to our own podcast.
Yeah, it's our Bible.
Yeah.
So it's the actors game where I name three actors and you've got to guess what film they're from.
Yeah.
This week's theme is 2010 films because that's 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. New decade.
So you were there.
I was, yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Question one.
Yes.
Emma Stone.
Yep.
Lisa Kudrow. Stanley Tucci.
Emma Stone. Lisa Kudrow. And Stanley Tucci. Oh, it's in the back of my mind. I can picture Lisa. She's dead into roller coasters, isn't she? They go to a theme park. And there's roller coasters.
That's Kimmy Schmidt.
I was just thinking of people with red hair. Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
And Emma Stone.
Tooch.
Oh, dear. I have a clue.
He's her dad, and Lisa Kudrow is her teacher.
Easy A.
Yes.
I was going to say Easy A, but then I was unsure. I, like, second-guessed myself, and I shouldn't have done that.
Okay. That was my easy one.
Oh, no. Easy A one. That was terrible, and I'm sorry.
Okay. Number two.
Question two.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Russell Brand. Jason Segel.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Russell Brand and Jason Segel. So Jason Segel and Russell Brand are in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell's not in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Russell, oh God, I'm not going to do very well with this at all. See, have I seen this film?
I think so. Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
It's animated.
Oh, that doesn't help at all.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Jason Segel. It's animated.
Saying the names over and over again isn't going to help.
It's a big film.
It's a big film.
It's got sequels. Sequels of the sequels.
Not Shrek.
Not Shrek.
No, not Shrek.
Steve Carell's the main character.
Steve Carell is the main character. Minion.
What is the film's?
Despicable.
Despicable Me. Despicable Me.
Yes.
You did it.
Got it in one.
Okay.
Ish.
Question three.
Yep.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Matt Lucas.
Matt Lucas.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Alan Rickman. Johnny Depp. Wait. I can think of three films with Alan Rickman in.
Yeah.
Dogma. The space one with Tim Allen.
Galaxy Quest.
And Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I can't think of any films with Matt Lucas in. Off the top of my head. And who is the last person?
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. He's in a lot of films.
Okay.
Lots of Tim Burton films.
Mm. Correct.
Correct. In the Shadows?
It was in 2010.
Dark Shadows. 2010?
Mm-hmm. These are all 2010 films.
Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010.
Yeah.
Was in film with Matt Lucas and Alan Rickman.
That's correct.
Mm. And that film... Has had a sequel. There we go. Tim Burton. Is it Tim Burton?
We've
already established that, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
God, this is going to be boring people to death.
Probably like shouting the answer.
Rawr! Shout it to me, guys. Shout it to me. It's got a sequel. Tim Burton film with a sequel. It's going to be dead easy, isn't it? And I'm just going to kick myself afterwards.
Do you want a massive clue? That's going to give you the answer.
Can you give me half of the massive clue? Just take a few words out.
Disney.
It's Disney. It doesn't help.
It's one of the first live actions. First live action remakes with Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
So he's only done one.
Live action.
Disney.
Words of live action.
He's only done one Disney live action remake.
Remake?
It was massive because of all the CGI. Everyone was very excited to see it.
Excited to see it. 2010. All designed 2010, 19. Ugh. Have I seen this film?
Yes.
Do I like it?
Probably not, because it was terrible. Helena Bonham Carter. Well, Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway. Helena Bonham Carter. No, go on.
Alice in Wonderland.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry. That's like really obvious now. But.
Alan Rickman plays the caterpillar. Who? Oh.
Yeah.
And Matt Lucas plays Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp plays.
Do you reckon he got paid twice for that?
No.
That now is very obvious, and
that was my other easy one.
Do you know it wasn't that good? It's obviously not very memorable to stick in my head.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Right. Question four.
Question four.
Yes.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Who's that?
Nicolas Cage.
That right.
Chloe Mortez.
Who are Chloe Mortez is the girl from It's Kick Ass, isn't it?
It's Kick Ass. Yeah, you did it.
Woo-hoo. And he is, yeah.
Aaron Taylor that. Johnson. See?
Smash that. Easy.
It's the main guy from Kick Ass.
He is. He's in The Illusionist.
Oh, I've not seen that.
And that other thing we watched recently.
Angus Thongs in Perfect
Snuggers. We didn't watch that recently.
Okay.
But he is in something else that we watched recently.
Okay.
Anyway.
Last one.
Yes.
Question five. Kevin James.
Rob Schneider.
David Spade.
Grown-ups.
Yeah.
Easy. Grown-ups 2. That came out in the last decade too.
No, this was just 2010.
Oh, well. I thought you meant the last decade.
No, the last... It's like been 10 years since these have come out.
10 years?
Yeah, 2010. You did it.
I did.
She got...
I got 4.
4 out of 5.
With clues.
With clues.
With good clues.
How did you do?
How did I do?
No. You, the listener at home. How did you do?
You know
how I did. That's great. Well done. Like Dora the Explorer.
Better luck next time. Great. Just choose the one that applies to you. Fantastic. That's a shame.
Very good.
Okay. Better luck next time.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, hopefully the edit won't have as many coughs in it and roughness.
Oh, I'm rough.
And we'll hopefully be back to full strength.
Yeah, hopefully my voice is just bearable rather than unbearable.
Yeah.
Next time. What do we normally do at the end? One thing, one good thing, one thing.
One cool thing.
You got a cool thing this week?
So my cool thing this week, I've spoke about it on the podcast briefly, but I didn't actually get to play it, was Jedi Fallen Order.
You got it for Christmas.
I did get it for Christmas. I've absolutely smashed it to pieces.
Oh no, I've just bought it.
Not
for
physically.
You.
In the game, I was with my lightsaber. Getting it, all the trophies, platinumed it, it's all done. Ready to be shipped off to anyone who wants to lend it. So yeah. No, Jedi Fallen Order, it was a great game to play. You start off, your character's called Cal Kestis, and you've had some Jedi training, but you've not completed it, and you basically come through as a Padawan, and you relearn all your Force abilities, and it's just ace. Anyone who's not played it yet, but looking to play it, I played it on the Jedi Knight difficulty. So they have story mode, which is basically everything is much easier, but then the curve to the next difficulty up is just completely different, and then they have a couple of difficulties above that, which I reckon would be, I didn't play on those difficulties, but I imagine they'd be really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because Jedi Knight is, it just gives the game a bit of a challenge, mm-hmm. but not too much. And it as you play the game more, you become more powerful,
is
and
there
the
a
game gets easier.
Mode in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
But
what's that called?
Jedi Master.
Oh.
And then I don't know if there's another one above that. But what I enjoyed doing was I played through the main story on Jedi Knight, the challenging one.
Yeah.
And then there's loads of stuff you can collect at the end, which I recommend doing. I recommend playing back through to collect all the other bits, because as you learn more powers, you can get to more spaces. But that's what made it so good. It was a really linear game in terms of getting about, but at the same time, there's all these like shortcuts and little hidden bits that you can just play through and look for. And I'm not really much of a single player story gamer, but this really got my attention. I mainly go, there's basically one a year that I'll play. So
last time,
like,
it was Spider-Man, wasn't
Spider-Man
it?
And then before that was Ni No Kuni 2.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Aww, these are all gifts by me.
This has made me want to find more single player games to play. So yeah, if anyone's
keeps
got any
quiet.
It does keep quiet. If anyone's got any game recommendations, then yeah, send them in.
Yeah.
And I'll have a look into them. Have you got a cool thing?
My cool thing isn't something that's new.
Right.
It's something that I've had for a while, but I've neglected.
Yeah.
Because I've been sick. I have been off work because I can't. I'm just ill. It's awful.
Yes.
So I've been playing a lot of The Sims 4.
Yeah.
I did treat myself to the Island Living extension pack, which lets you live in like a Polynesian style.
Yeah, it's kind of like Hawaii.
Yeah, but you can make mermaids.
That's it, sold. You were like, yeah, okay, living around. Oh, you make mermaids?
Yeah.
Take my money.
So, like, I also have the pets one, so I made a mermaid lady, who, when you're on land, you turn into a human again.
Right.
But you get dehydrated, so you need to go swim in the sea every now and then.
Right.
It's cool. And then, like, I opened a vet. It's just been great. But because I have literally just been playing The Sims, my characters have aged to the point where they die.
Yeah, that's
it's just it's.
Am I dead?
You're dead. I made you, and you died. I know. And then the characters that I have been playing, who aren't anybody like that we know that or anything,
yeah,
they're just made up people. They met you, and they just keep crying over the fact that you're dead.
They're pouring out.
And then I deleted our house because I was like, I don't like. I moved us out because I was like, I don't want us to die, but we still died anyway. And then I got a letter saying that our dog was dying and I should go visit it. But because we didn't have a house, I couldn't go visit the dog.
What? This is bizarre.
Really sad.
They're like, they've gone really in depth with The Sims, haven't they? Wow.
Yeah.
Like, the last Sims I remember playing properly was Sims 2.
Oh, that was a good one.
Fantastic.
Sims 2 was the best.
And then Sims 3, that's when they started going into more, instead of the, like, just...
Yeah, house, you could have, like, a whole town.
Yeah, and it sort of branched out a bit too far for me.
Oh, no, or I like it.
But it wasn't as good as it is now. I think the beauty of Sims 4 is it has everything. It does it all really well.
Yeah.
And Sims 3 was lacking that. So it was bridging the gap between 2 and 4, but not as good as you'd want it to.
Yeah.
But you can get everything. You had, like, Baby Yoda in there and all sorts.
Yeah, you can get... It's only a statue, but...
Yeah.
But there are, like, Star Wars clothes and hairdressers.
And does that just come randomly, or did you have to buy an expansion pack for that?
No, they just came free. I don't know when that happened. It was part of an update, so...
Oh, that's really cool. So, like, as well as having all of these paid...
Yeah, you get loads of free content. Like, I got the holiday pack, which is just like Christmas trees and stuff for your house.
Yeah, you keep asking me to build a house for us, don't you?
Because I don't like building the house. I don't know why.
See, I really like the building side.
I like building people.
But it'll take me, I don't have the time to just sit and build.
You need to get sick.
Sims houses. Yeah, I've been sick. I've done my time. Christmas and New Year. Yeah, well.
But all the Sims extension packs are on sale at the minute, 50% off.
Ooh.
So if you want to buy me another one, that'd be really nice.
Oh, well, it's your birthday in March.
It'll only be 50% off. It's only got 3 days left.
Oh, okay.
See, by the time you hear this, the sale will have ended.
We'll see. Yeah, this isn't a plug for the for EA.
Soz EA.
Star. Is it EA?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Origin. EA and Origin.
Yeah, and it used to be Maxium or something, but they've dropped The Sims, apparently.
Why?
I don't know.
Not making the big sales.
Don't know. I still love the
language.
Simlish.
They're
like flabbergabish, dude.
Masuno. They sound like Lisa was playing the other day, and I said, "Are they speaking Japanese but in like a more of an English accent?" And they're not.
They're speaking Simlish.
But some of the words sound like they could be Japanese.
Flabgosh.
Maybe not that one. It's like Swedish mixed with Japanese.
Yeah.
Or Scandinavian, not specifically Swedish.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Sweden.
There's other Scandinavian countries too.
There is another game that I really want, but it's PC only.
Oh.
And we're a Mac family.
We are. And
it's depressing me because it looks so good.
Right. So the only reason I don't want to get a PC is because they just go out of date so quickly. But I have been tempted in the past to go back, because I used to PC game.
Yeah. I've got no space for it, unless you get rid of your second PS4.
Yeah, well, the upstairs... Well, it's not my... You've got your PS4, and I've got my PS4.
Unless you move the PS4 back into the back bedroom.
Yeah.
We can't get a PC, but...
Well, we could. I could put the PC on top of the PS4 and use a gaming monitor.
On top of the PS4?
Because I've seen you can get these really small PCs.
Okay.
That's what puts me off getting them as well. They still come in these big towers, and they don't even need
it's
all
2020?
That space. 2020. Well, that's why I seen an article on Eurogamer the other day, and it's like, get these small PCs, but they're $1,000.
Anyway, I haven't mentioned the name of my game.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Planet Zoo. I want it. It looks so good.
You can. It's basically like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
You can get theme park version. I want that as well.
Planet Coaster.
I want all the planets, please.
Yeah. They look like a really advanced, so much better version than Roller Coaster Tycoon.
They are so good. Like, we watch a guy on YouTube called Let's Game It Out, and he's got a series called I Built an Unethical Zoo. That's actually, well, the third episode is that's actually a city. But he just goes crazy and spends
so funny as
45
well.
Minutes designing just the train station.
Yeah.
Which is just leading he public spent... into the ground, like
45 hours building that city.
Yeah, like it's really funny, so you should check that channel out if you just want to get an idea of what
Planet Zoo.
On Planet Zoo, like he takes it too far.
Yeah, he basically plays the game in the way it's not really meant to be played. But it also showcases what you can do with the game, and then
like he kills the animals and then like leaves the carcasses. Well, in the public sort
he's
of thing.
Not playing the game to progress and make a zoo. He's just doing it for comedy value, but the videos are really funny. He does this really sarcastic voiceover over the top, and it's very funny. Has me in hysterics all the time.
yeah, and that's on him. Let's game it out. Because sometimes when I listen to podcasts, they'll tell you what they're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I listened to that, let's game it out, and then they talk about it, and then you're like, that sounds really interesting, but I can't remember what they said it was called. So yeah. Say it at the end, let's say game it out.
Yeah. We'll try and remember to do that.
Because it's something that frustrates me about other podcasts. So.
Oh, damn those other podcasts. Anyway, that's all from us this week. We'll be back, hopefully, bringing out episodes again week on week. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at PerfectCastPod.
You can also email us at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com.
Bill, bye. Lots of love.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.